with the marketing corner.
there we go.
John told me last week I needed to mix that up.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
I liked it.
It was authentic, as if I really didn't mess up at all.
No, not at all. Yeah, that was a good plan.
The marketing corner with Sean Campbell. That's me and my co-host, Pastor John McClain.
Always a pleasure.
Executive director of...
the Veteran Rescue Mission.
Yeah, and on the phone, this is my first call-in.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
And it's good that this first call-in is a radio show aficionado expert himself. Yeah. So if we mess up in any way, he can tell us what we're doing wrong.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that cardboard cutout of Zach. So now, you know, I could talk as if I'm talking to Zach himself.
Yeah, it's not as handsome as him, but it's close. It was close. I got a likeness from Facebook.
Yeah. Are you there, Zach?
I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Chance to be on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you. John holds you in very high regard.
Yeah, and I'll give like the official big up bring in of Mr. Zach Yenser. He is the independent candidate that is running for mayor in this upcoming election. He is the executive director of Tucson Young Professionals, definitely one of the most elite networking business groups in the city of Tucson. I'm happy to say definitely a guy I look up to, even though I got a few years on him, and certainly just one of the most poignant people that I've had the pleasure to sit down and have lunch with. So thank you once again for joining us, Mr. Zach Yenser.
Yeah, thank you for that intro. And again, pleasure to be on. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. So the show, Zach, obviously we talk a little bit of marketing, some entrepreneurship and small business. So you're ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
So it's very authentic. And I think John kind of gave you the lowdown. I come up with a theme and we kind of talk about it. 10 out of 10 times the guests don't know what we're going to talk about. Mm. So we're kind of put you on the spot, and that way it's coming from the heart, coming from your experience or whatnot.
A good spot though. A happy spot. A spot with love.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm glad you said that, John, because I know that I'm going to push, kind of go to the border on this.
You do.
And
you
I do don't that. Mean, I'm going to preface everything for the rest of the show. I don't mean to be critical. It's just one of those things that lately, and Zach, if you don't know, and some of the audience don't know, I'm CMO of CS Design Studios. So I'm helping small businesses out with their digital marketing plan and their programs or whatnot, whether it's social media, website design, SEO, Google Ads, whatever it is. But I've had a lot of initial consultations lately where at the end of the consultation, we find out that they don't have any ad budget or marketing budget set aside for their startup. So it's one of the things that what I want to talk about, the theme today, is when you're planning a new business, when you're planning a startup, you got to have a marketing budget in mind, you know? So it's unbelievable how many businesses I've come across these last 2, 3, 4, 5 months where they don't have anything left. They're literally handing out flyers door to door to promote their business. So
yeah, and I'm definitely really interested in hearing your take on this, Zach, particularly, you know, working with Tucson Young Professionals. And I know a lot of the work that you guys do is helping, you know, these young professionals that are a lot of ways successful share their knowledge and even become even more successful in what they're doing. So kind of what's your take on, you know, with a startup business or even, you know, an established business, you know, what type of priorities should they consider when it comes to advertising and marketing and that budget and all the different parts of that?
Definitely. Well, I think the question is interesting for me because I've lived on both sides of the question. And what I mean by that is I've been in small and mid-sized business all my life, whether it's a business that my dad started when I was a kid, whether it was co-managing Savaya Coffee Market in Tucson for a couple of years. And I also like to even consider Tucson Young Professionals to some degree a bit of a startup. It's a 501c6 not-for-profit organization, but that doesn't mean that we don't build, you know, in a strong business way, you know, the organization. It's still a profit and loss statement at the end of the day. And then on the other side of that, I was a radio show host where I created daily content to talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. But the way that that survived was I would go to businesses and say, hey, you really need to have a budget for your business for marketing. And here is why my show is a really good place to reach a certain kind of audience that matches your certain kind of business to get a certain kind of result. And, you know, certainly we're finding that that person-to-person connection is working well again. Mm-hmm. I started to see some of the traditional ways of advertising and marketing kind of wax and wane really around COVID. But I think one of the best ways to connect with people where they are is with digital advertising and so on and so forth. And so mm-hmm. I would just agree with you, again, being on both sides of this question, that if you don't have assets to tell your story will either not get told or someone else will tell it for you, mm-hmm. and neither is an optimal result.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. A question that comes to mind as you're kind of talking about this from the standpoint of, you know, working for other businesses, of seeing your dad run businesses, of you run a business with a radio show, because definitely being a radio show host and on several different stations now, or shows now and stations, I realize, you know, it is a business. But even further, having ran for mayor myself, being, you know, in that fine, sad company, that as well is a business, you know, and I guess kind of enlighten us to, you know, what are the considerations that you have to make from an advertising and marketing standpoint for that people maybe don't usually consider?
Right. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I have been saying out there more and more that the interesting dynamic of running for office is that on the one hand, there's a lot of similarities to starting a business. You know, and they often say, look, you can be a really nice guy with a good-hearted idea, but if nobody wants that idea and they're not willing to part with their hard-earned dollars to support it, you don't have a business. Mm. And I kind of took that approach in running for mayor, and I think it applies to a lot of things running, you know, to a lot of positions you could run for office, where, you know, I really took a number of months to take my ideas on the trail and literally sit around kitchen tables and in living rooms and say, this is what's on my heart. This is my vision for the community. Do we share this? Is there anything that I'm missing? Is there anything I've said that you would add to or would take away? And then the question was, if there was alignment around that idea and the need for it at this point in time in Tucson's history, then would people be willing to part with their hard-earned dollars to invest into the mission? And, you know, I was really clear with myself and my team and others from the beginning. Look, if those two things weren't true to my other businesses, I either pivoted or moved on. Mm-hmm. And it was not going to be any different in this effort. It's obviously the public sector versus the private sector, but the principles are the same. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna cut you off real quick, Zach. We have to roll into break. But this is Zach Yenser with the executive director of Tucson Young Professionals and the independent candidate running for mayor. What's your website, real quick, Zach? We're gonna be back with them, but let's shoot it to them before we go to the break.
My website address?
Yeah.
Yep. It's www.zach.tucson.com.
And this is the Marketing Corner with Sean Campbell. I am Pastor John McClain with the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. A little spin-off of this little goodie. We'll be back with more Zach Yenser after the break.
And we are back with myself, Mr. John McClain, and Zach Yenser. So very, very phenomenal first segment there. And one of the things I really loved that you stated, Zach, is not only the mixture of the digital marketing aspect, but that face-to-face interaction, you know, and when we talk about, you know, a startup or a new business or even established business, and we're talking about a plan, even though my arena is in the digital field, that networking aspect of that marketing plan, especially here in Tucson, I think every small business owner, your job is to be 1 degree away from everybody in town, you know, so That's one of the things I really appreciate that you brought up, Zach.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I was also, right before break, going to quickly answer your direct question mm-hmm. as well, in that the interesting dynamic around a political campaign is you don't have this linear marketing budget, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. There are some clear gates where you have to be really saving intentionally mm-hmm. some assets to be able to push the message out in key ways at key times. Mm-hmm. And I could see some ways where that's very different from a business, but I could also see some realities where the strategic plan around a business is to say, look, we're going to, you know, give your company a certain amount of dollars at a certain amount of time to really push. Maybe it's a seasonal business. Maybe it's blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But I think that's an interesting part of the campaign, is it's not linear in terms of the rollout of the marketing. It can be seasonal or for certain aspects of the business.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the questions that was actually asked to me is from a gentleman who is starting up a business. He's like, well, how much money should I set aside for this startup? And in general, and this is kind of the information that I kind of had, you know, looked up previously, is in general, whatever you expect that first year of your gross sales for a startup, you should set aside about 20 to 25% of your expected gross sales, or of your initial marketing or, you know, startup budget, mm-hmm. about 20 to 25% of that should be set aside for marketing.
Interesting.
And then every year after that, it should be between 5 and 10%, depending on your growth and, mm-hmm. you know, how well established, mm-hmm. your brand recognition, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But that initial budget, you know, say you have $100,000, can you afford to do everything you want to do and still have about 20 to 25% of that left over for the essentials, like a website, you know, for present on social, for if, you know, if Google's the play on it, you know, your SEO, you know, how easy can you be found, you know, when you first start up? And I'm saying this because I want these businesses to succeed, and it's a little frustrating that there was no foresight into, okay, we're all set up and we got a $3,000 a month office. Okay, how are we going to get people in? mm-hmm. And you know, mm-hmm. I'm not laughing at them, but it's frustrating because that should have been part of their plan. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah, and you're, I guess, Zach, to kind of get your insight on this, what do you see in your experience, like kind of like a faux pas around some of the business that you work with Tucson Young Professional, mm-hmm. and advice that you guys give those businesses to help steer them out of the away from the iceberg they may be about to run into?
Right. Man, that's a really good question. And I'm in that 10 out of 10 that you mentioned of don't get to get questions or topics ahead of time. This is totally authentic and awesome. I think it's a really good question. You know, it might come back to what you were just saying, is don't make assumptions about I've seen people buy a lot of the bells and whistles, and even things like offices and, you know, different kind of, I'm trying to think of an example, but like bells and whistles before the idea is even proven.
Mm-hmm. Like the vehicles and the equipment and all the fancy tools.
They got their car wrapped up with their logo. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And in the startup environment, you know, the language they use is minimum viable product. What is that first minimum viable product that you can market test and sell and A/B test around and really get a feel for, you know, that monthly revenue and the return on investment and those key performance indicators? I think I've seen a lot of businesses struggle because they assume that because they thought the idea was good or they thought people wanted their product, but they really didn't. They went all out, which shows good intent and good heart, but then couldn't make it work over the long term because nobody really wanted the product the way that they were promoting it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always looking at, you know, how do you start small and validate and then grow from there?
This is tremendous information here, John. Mm-hmm. This is unbelievable. Good stuff. I mean, every show we bring into another, you know.
Mm, little pearls.
Yeah. This is beautiful stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so Zach, I mean, what are some of the, let's talk about some of the success stories you've seen. What were some of the things that you've seen where a startup just actually nailed it and it was, you know, an integral part for that first, you know, 12 to 36 months of their success.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the successes that has been really fun to watch, and I don't do this in any way to pat myself or my organization on the back, but Tucson
Pat yourself on the back, Zach.
It's just the first one I could think of, but I'm really excited by our growth trajectory. Tucson Young Professionals is a membership organization, and we exist because and for our members. And we had about 120 members and a very small amount of money in the bank when we decided to scale up. This was 4 years ago. Today, we find ourselves having 10x membership and 20x financial resources.
Awesome.
And I think what really drove that was a real kind of look at our systems and our processes and really focusing on those and making sure that we were delivering member value. But also figuring out what the value was that organizations found in our services, and really sitting down with our members and saying, we don't want to guess what you want. We want to know exactly what we can provide you. But then also we found that when we were leading with our mission, when we were leading with the why and not the what, that really created energy and momentum that scaled up the organization. And that's nothing new for me. I think, you know, Simon Sinek, Start With Why, is probably the most common example of, you know, don't just sell the what, sell the why.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds cliche, but people really don't care about what you know until they know that you care. And sometimes that is hand-to-hand combat. You know, that is something that you have to do one person, one relationship, one conversation at a time, and really kind of relationally communicate your mission to build a critical mass of people that can go help and sell your product for you. I'll stop there, but I think some of those things have really helped TYP, for example, scale.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, and it definitely kind of to put some icing on this little cake. One, thank you, Zach, for joining us. But I was telling Sean before the show that back when Eli and Ben were running the Tucson Young Professionals, it was kind of like a budding organization. You know, like you were saying, you know, not that many members, but you know, a solid organization. But I've been able to watch kind of from afar, just, you know, it transform, you know, in the time that you've been there. And it's been a pleasure to watch. And, you know, I'm really proud to, you know, to be aligned with you in any way to see your growth continue, because you're a great dude.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, that's Zach Yenser, the executive director of Tucson Young Professional, also independent candidate running for mayor. If you haven't had a chance to have lunch with him or catch out one of his events, please do. His website is, remind me of that, what that is again, Zach?
www.zach4tucson.com.
Awesome. Well, this is the Marketing Corner with Sean Campbell. I'm Pastor John McClain. This is 1030 The Voice. We will catch you after probably about 2.5 minutes. So don't hold your breath the whole entire time.
Segment 3 of the Marketing Corner with Sean Campbell. That's me. And in one corner, we got weighing in at 185 pounds. 100, what?
32? 170-ish, 177 when I went to the doctor a few days ago.
180-ish,
yeah,
right?
We'll go with that.
Well, you talk about your basketball games if you're like 6'7".
Oh, well, in basketball, I'm 7'5", actually. Yeah, absolutely. And they call me the doctor. Yes. So, yes.
Dr. J.
Dr. J. McClain.
Dr. J. McClain. And in the other corner, we have Candace Eaton from Seaton Photography.
Yeah, I don't want to fight her.
No.
That's scary.
No.
Can you not hear us?
I think I got it ironed out.
Okay, you got it ironed out over there?
I believe so.
Yeah. You look cool one way or the other. So.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's the important part.
That's the important part. You're dressed up nice today, Candace.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's not for the show.
I was a little tired this morning, so I thought, right, you know, maybe I'd try to compensate for that with a jacket.
Yeah, the sports coat does it every single time. It's something I learned a long time ago. Like, no matter how raggedy I may look, if I throw a sports coat on, it at least covers half of that.
It looks like you know what you're doing. It looks like you get your stuff together. Yeah. Right?
There's no one better to ask than Candace this question. Oh, and no. I'll take your opinion too.
Okay.
I've been thinking about going with a sports coat recently.
Okay.
I've been thinking about it. So do I have a hint?
Yes. Yeah. You are meant for a sports coat.
I dig the sports coat.
Yeah.
You know, the
it's that
Don Johnson, like you can do the t-shirt with the sports coat sort of thing, and that's just slick.
And for it definitely goes with like the look that you already have that people assume of you, like you're this like this cool, calm, distinguished gentleman, where only your real friends know the truth.
You know what happens when you assume
something happens to you and me, I think.
something online. Should we talk about our event that we're putting together? Maybe kind of throw that out there first.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so Candace and I, along with a mutual friend / business owner, Don from Think Safe Seminars, we're going to put together a morning session to, what did you name it? Defend yourself and your brand. Yeah. So,
defend yourself and your brand.
Primarily.
Okay. You talked about that today?
No. Okay. We really just kind of put together the marketing stuff, and we're
putting together some sponsors. Give me the inside.
Oh, you're going to be there. But Don with Think Safe Seminars is going to be talking about how to, you know, protect yourself when you're out and about. Candace is going to be talking about branding.
Okay.
And I'm going to be talking about your social media and your online presence.
You know a couple things about that.
I do. Nice. So it'll be three presenters, and it's going to be good. More details on the way.
Do we have a location, or is that still
at the L offices on River and Campbell?
Nice.
It's about a month away, right?
Yes. April 6th.
April 6th from 9 to noon. There will be a little bit of a cover charge because we found out from our experience when it's free, nobody shows up.
That's how it works. That is how it works.
They all commit to showing up. You get 30 people that are like, I'll be there. And then nobody
shows
up.
And you know what? I'm going to commit to wearing a sports coat that day.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I don't see I'll be there.
Okay, you're going
to
be there.
I'll pay the admission price just to see that.
It's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
It's totally going to be worth it.
That's going to be part of our hook.
Yeah, we'll put that on the flyer. Yeah. Sean will be wearing a sports coat.
As previously heard on the Marketing Corner. Yeah. Oh, man. So the theme today, Candace, is we're talking about startups, but in particular, how many times have you assisted a small business, a solopreneur, even a larger business, when they come to you and they ask for your work and they're like, can we barter with this, Candace? Has it happened?
Yesterday.
It's pretty consistent. I think...
The wound is still fresh.
yeah. Like part of it boils down to, I don't think people don't create the budget for stuff like that to begin with.
Yeah.
And then there's also it took me 24 hours to respond to the email that I got yesterday because I was just like, it just twisted my brain. I was like, somebody out here trying to get me to work for free again. What I do is, I mean, it's not quite as ethereal as what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I provide a product in the end that, you know, that in some cases you can touch and feel and smell and the whole thing. Like, but it's the whole artist thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, all you got to do is click a button. And
a little more than that. A little more than that.
Right. People don't understand, like, well, yeah, I'm clicking a button while I'm standing right in front of you, but like the back end work that I have to do
and the
work that I did to get here. And,
you
know, and the tools that you have and the amount of time that it takes to actually edit and modify the stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, you're asking me for, it's a lot more than just a half of a second of my time and energy that you're asking
for.
And
Candace understands the purpose behind it. It's not just a cute, fluffy, you know, photograph.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I do those cute, fluffy
photos. You do. Yeah.
One of the best.
But those are meant to be cute and fluffy, whereas your professional photographs are meant to, you know, tell the display the brand, tell a story mm-hmm. behind it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. in line with that, I actually saw, I don't know, I hate to refer to Facebook memes, but I saw a Facebook meme that was just talking about a contractor was bidding a job and the person's like, hey, I want you to put this gravel lot in my front yard. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, it'll be $2,000. And they're like, $2,000? I can do that on my own for $50. And they're like, okay, well, I can teach you, if it's not that easy, I can teach you how to grade, though, and I'll charge you $200. And I can teach you how to put in rock, and I can mm-hmm. charge you $200. And you'll need these tools, so that it'll cost you that much amount of money. And like, and mm-hmm. kind of like add it up for them, and it would cost this person $5,000 to mm-hmm. do what this guy's going to do for $2,000. And
right.
a lot of people, a lot of time, the consumer, or even, you know, other business owners don't realize that,
right.
that back end work, you know, that right. degree ostensibly that you have mm-hmm. that they're paying for more than that picture that you're going to give them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had the conversation with people before asking me to, you know, they were buying a large canvas from me, but asking me to justify the price. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my answer, it worked out real nice for me because this guy was an attorney. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, when your clients come in and you charge them what, anywhere between right. $400 and $700 an hour, are you mm-hmm. charging them for that hour? Mm-hmm. Or are you charging them for the building and the receptionist mm-hmm. and the time you had to spend going to law school and the yeah. time you had to spend yeah. working for other people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we will take that take, that hot take, and so much more after the break with Candace Eaton with C. Eaton Photography. What's your website real quick? Okay, we'll get her website after the break. This is the Marketing Corner with Sean Campbell. I'm Pastor John McClain with the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We'll be right back.
So we're back talking about startups, and in particular, the budget that you need to set aside actually when you do start up a business, mm. which is often overlooked.
Yeah.
You know, as I talked about the first couple of segments before you stepped in, Candace, you know, I've... startups that invested so much money into not just the specialized equipment and mm. the necessarily assets that they need, a beautiful office space where it's in a prime spot of town, very high end, you know, area of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's asking me to barter,
yeah.
you know, and it's like, well, we didn't
put yeah. Steve on blast like that. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
and you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm not saying that to be critical. It's just one of those things. If you are listening to the show and if you are thinking about starting up a business, and this is what this show is for, right? Mm. But part of that is you need to set money aside for a presentable website
mm.
so you can call Candace to take, you know, phenomenal headshots mm. and what other assets that she could provide. But you can't just like, okay, I need this, need that, and that's all. It's a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I did right when I started my business is that was part of my initial budget.
Mm.
And not only that, but one thing that Zach said in the first segment in particular, it's not only the money, but investing time to be in front of other people.
Mm.
And from my experience, I did really, really well for a lot of small businesses in town when mm-hmm. I'm an outside marketer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I know how to do as a military brat is to be in front of people, shake hands, kiss babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can make anybody like me, honestly.
Mm-hmm. It works,
you know?
So much better than shaking babies and kissing hands.
Yeah, yeah, I've tried sure. that before, yeah. and, you know, no one is ringing the phone. Yeah,
they don't respond.
That upsets people.
It does. Unless they're kids. Never mind. But anyway. But one of the things that you need to budget that time and or the resources and put yourself in front of, and don't just talk to me, you know, talk to a number of photographers, a number of digital marketers, a number of consultants,
mm-hmm.
and find the people that you're going to work well with,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of phenomenal digital marketing companies in town, and there's a lot of phenomenal photographers in town, but find mm-hmm. the people that resonate with you and understand what your goals are.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But don't just, okay, this is how much it's going to cost for everything. I need to hire somebody at $15, you know, an hour. And I need a beautiful office space. Okay, I need $100,000 and I want to be hit the ground running. It's a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Like, I talk to so many small business owners that kind of have this, if I build it, they will come mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, when I ask them, what are you doing for marketing? And they got a restaurant.
They will come.
I have food.
Well, my friends say it's a great idea.
how do people know you have good food? How do people know where to find you? Like, how what are you doing for marketing? But I have a restaurant. Yeah. We have food. Yeah. I'm like, that's...
Yeah. You know, just think of this simple sentence. No one can buy your services or product if they've never heard of you. Period.
Right.
You know, the only people that are going to come by your place of business or buy something from you offline are going to be your friends and family.
Mm.
You know, and that's what life insurance companies used to do. Maybe they still do, but back in the day, all the life insurance companies wanted to hire everybody, and your first fear was to sign up all your friends and family, and then they knew you were going to be out of business in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give you the resources, but you signed up 20 of your closest friends for life insurance, and that's how, you know, they would just recycle through everybody in town.
Interesting.
You know, back in the day, everybody and their mom was a life insurance agent for Farmers and American Family and Allstate, and, you know, it's like, that's what they did, you know, so,
Yeah, with this, it's interesting. I'll kind of share, you know, a tale of a younger John McClane as an entrepreneur and doing exactly what you said, because I think in a lot of ways, unless you go to business school or unless you have the right mentors, the right people around you, you make all these mistakes and you learn what to do from the mistakes. Because I know when I first started my pool and landscape business as a young 20-year-old, you know, I really wanted to kind of like get out there. I learned how to do websites and how to do logos and how to do this stuff on my own because I wouldn't just pay other people to do those things.
Right.
And thankfully now I've learned to just operate in my zone of genius and find partners and find people that I can hire to do these other things. And I've save myself years because I definitely waste at least 4 or 5 years of my life trying to learn how to do these things and doing my own website and doing my own marketing, starting my own marketing company because I knew how to do these things rather than just hiring other people to do those things and staying in my zone of genius, which at this point is, you know, in some capacity, media and helping homeless veterans.
Like,
that's my spot.
I'll agree and disagree with you a little bit. I think one of the things you did right was to learn, because back then the world was a lot slower. You did have a little bit of time to learn this stuff. And websites in particular, SEO in particular, is a lot more complicated now. You know, so you need that experience. You know, it's not just, I'm going to go buy this Wix website and it's going to be up and running tomorrow. You know, even though it is step by step, you're not going to be able to compete against anybody at all. You know, so
you pay for everything.
Right.
One way or the other, you pay for it.
Right.
You pay for it with cash money or you pay for it with your time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and a lot of small business owners, me included, like, you got to pick and choose what's going to be my biggest ROI. And that's probably, like, when you're in a position where you have more time than you have money, you gotta, okay, well, this is where the cash is gonna go, and this is where the time is gonna go. And eventually, you know, when I have the cash to pay Sean to do my social media for me, I am going to be thrilled beyond belief to offload that on somebody else.
And he will be thrilled to take that.
But that's one of those things that, like, right now, I dump my money into getting face to face in front of people.
Exactly.
You know, I put my money into other things that have the higher, quicker ROI.
Yeah. And one thing we're not saying is that don't make any mistakes, you know?
No.
I mean, your worst mistake is going to be being afraid of making any mistakes, you know? Because the three of us
wouldn't be... That's a good one. I'm going to quote you on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on one of my little teasers.
That's a good one.
You know? But the thing is, it's like, you're going to fail a lot. It's fine. Just don't make the same mistake over and over again.
Right.
But making the mistake of not budgeting for your marketing, especially when you start up, there is no second chance in that. You know what I mean? So, and then going forward, even if you're an established business, you should set aside about 5% of your gross towards your marketing efforts. Again, depending on your goals and everything else.
This is my little fun little question, softball, curveball, throw to you, Sean.
Okay.
What's a kind of like a little low-hanging fruit tip you can give to people that like that customer you're talking mm-hmm. about, they're like, oh, sorry, buddy, I don't got any marketing budget. Can we trade, mm-hmm. you know, like what's a tip you could have thrown at him? Like at least throw $500, at least throw $1,000 mm-hmm. in X, Y, or Z. And at least that'll get you kind of a start to get something.
Well, you know, what I love about what I do now is, you know, not only could I offer a complete, you know, array of services on the digital side, but we also come from, you know, just the general marketing consulting side. You know, and one of the biggest things I tell everybody is like, go out and network, you know, put yourself in front of people. Like Candace is a phenomenal network.
Yeah, she is.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know if I'd say phenomenal, but I do it a lot.
I think you're really good.
You're intentional about it. You're active. Yeah. You're personable. You're genuine. People,
yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. you're very memorable. You know what I mean? You always say something that people are going to be like, oh yeah, there's Candace. You know what I mean? So, And if you're not good in front of people, then you got to learn how to fake it.
Yeah.
And how much
you got to get practice.
Yeah. And how much does that really cost? Mm. It costs, you know, you got to invest time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a huge time sink.
It is. But then, you know, there's gas and, you know, if you're going to buy somebody a drink or lunch, right?
Right.
But if you're good at that, then you can get by in other areas for now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a prime location in Tucson. If you're a good networker, you could do really well. Mm. I didn't have a website until like 6, 7, 8 months into my own business. Mm. I just relied on LinkedIn and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and that was my, and on my cards, I only had those URLs.
Mm.
You know, and then when I did have a website, you know, it was, you know, it added a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I networked and I had a social media presence. Mm-hmm. That's all I did. And it didn't cost me anything to do.
Yeah, that's great advice. I want to think probably all three of us here would echo that. I mean, because especially all of us are huge networkers here in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in my life, not only just in business, but in my life, that just made a big difference, kind of getting out there, getting connected. And the big thing I saw, particularly here in Tucson, is if you go out there and you participate in the network meetings and the Chamber of Commerce and all this other stuff, there's only 1,000 of us.
Yeah.
There's only 1,000 of us that really are involved. So if you go out there and you get involved, you're one of the stakeholders. Congratulations. Welcome to the team.
Candace, give a piece of networking advice. One or two nuggets.
And then your contact information after
that.
Okay. Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Consistency and repeatability.
Yeah.
It's networking is a long game. It's not a show up once and get a big contract and now you sail. It's a, you got to show up in the same places with the same people over and over again, before you start getting recognized, and remembered and just seen as someone who's serious about this.
Mm-hmm. Just a familiarity. I know with me and you, we've been to so many meetings together, but now we're friends. You know, now we work together.
Yeah. So that's my biggest one, like consistency and repeatability. Go after it again and again and again. And just cause it didn't work the first time, don't stop.
Yeah. Mm. Real quick, before we end the show, one thing that I did is I created my own events. I created my own Facebook workshops.
And that's how we met.
And And initially, they were all for free and just to get a bunch of people in there. Mm. And I literally gave away the house. I told people how to do their Facebook or LinkedIn.
Yeah, motion creates
commotion.
I kind of stalked
Sean for like 6 months to all of his little networking things. It was getting a little weird.
I've heard you're not the first person who's used that term with Sean. So you got to follow
him. There was a point where I was like, I'm going to have to back off a little bit. This guy's going to think I'm strange.
So tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you.
You can find me through my website, www.ceatonphotography.com, or you can just give me a call at 520-440-2167.
Thank you so much, Candace, for joining us.